This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, everybody? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Wednesday, August 4th. And oh my goodness, what a turn free agency took on Tuesday, folks. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. The good news is we got a great guest to help us make sense of all the madness, East and West. Eddie House is coming up, my main man. Eddie House played with the Celtics, won a ring, played with LeBron in Miami, lost to the Mavs. He's been around the block, played for a bunch of teams, good player. We talk a little about his NBA draft story, workouts, meeting with GMs, and obviously we break down free agency. We do about 15 minutes on the Lakers, and we recorded yesterday, on Tuesday, and the beauty of it was, in the middle of recording it, news drops that the Lakers had signed, are you ready for this? Carmelo Anthony to a, I guess it's a one-year deal, right? Lakers had signed Carmelo Anthony. That was the first part of the news. And the other one was that they got, was it Kent Bazemore? I think it is. But anyways, you'll listen to it when we talk to Eddie House. It's pretty exciting that in the middle of our interview, the news breaks of the trade. And you know, Eddie House is like kind of floored when I mention it to him. It's fun. It was really exciting. I'm sorry, that was Malik Monk. Malik Monk was the guy that we the Lakers signed. By the way, Malik Monk, what a find. And I think what you guys will realize listening to it is, man, we were concerned about the Lakers after the Russell Westbrook deal. And do they have enough shooting? Can they build around them? And I'm just going to say, trust GM LeBron. We're not going to get into the debate now, but Rob and I, you know, Rob wanted to talk about, hey, GM LeBron, be careful. Listen, GM LeBron delivers. And I'm going on Undisputed this morning, and I'm telling you this right now, okay? Kawhi Leonard ain't recruiting the way LeBron is, okay? LeBron got Horton Tucker to stay, got Kendrick Nunn to come and take less money. He had other offers. Kendrick Nunn is going to the Lakers. Folks, this is an unbelievable 48-hour stretch for the Lakers. Now, I'm sure there's plenty of Laker fans out there who are sick of me, or sorry, anti-Lakers fans, sick of me prattling on about this team. They drive a lot of traffic on this podcast, okay? I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about the numbers, but they have been monster on some days we go deep into the Lakers. And I'll say this. There was concern about the Lakers and three-point shooting. In the last 48 hours, they added Kent Bazemore, who shot 41% from deep last year. Wayne Ellington, 42%. Malik Monk, 40%. Carmelo, 40%. Kendrick Nunn, 38%. They are going to be so fungible on the perimeter, switching everything. Now, I know there are some defensive questions. Carmelo, he don't play much defense. Malik Monk was horrible defensively last year. Here's the thing. Behind them is Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, obviously, not the same guy he was back in the Orlando days, but he proved he could be a rim protector in LA and even in Philly last year. So, you know, Kendrick Nunn is a two-way guy. Bazemore's a two-way guy. But the Lakers are going to be able to tinker with multiple lineups. And if you can, if you have LeBron on the floor and in the corner, you've got Carmelo Anthony, and then also spotting up, you've got Malik Monk and you've got Anthony Davis. Like, where are you? I just don't know how you're doubling AD in the post or collapsing on a LeBron drive. And then, oh, you need to rest LeBron? That's great. We'll just bring in Russell Westbrook, and then we'll bring in Wayne Ellington, and then Dwight Howard's going to protect the rim, and Horton Tucker. Like, I know, listen, Caruso was a big loss. I get that. That stunk. But the amount of talent that the Lakers have been able to bring in, I know they're old, and we'll be making a lot of geriatric jokes about the Lakers. Trust me. I've got a whole stockpile of them I'm saving for the regular season. Okay? But I'm just telling you, like, the Lakers are loaded, and Kawhi Leonard ain't recruiting the way LeBron is. I know the Clippers don't have as much wiggle room financially, but what the Lakers have been able to do. And by the way, Dennis Schroeder, I'm sorry about your luck, man. I really feel bad. We talk about that a little bit with Eddie House. Let's just get to the interview. Here's my main man, former Arizona State Sun Devil, and I believe he played with 9 teams in 11 years, Eddie House.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's bring in Eddie House, my main man, Fox Sports 1. He's done Fox Sports Radio. He does Pac-12. I mean, you do everything, right? Basically, Ed, you coach your kids in basketball.
Yeah, I got my jack of all trades, you could say.
Yes, indeed. I love it. And Eddie and I go way back. I really enjoy over the years chopping it up with him. I will, Ed, I've told you this, you know, to your face, like Ed's kind of intimidating when you first meet him, just because, you know, he talks tough. He's from Oakland. He's got all the tats. And then he's just like the nicest guy. You know, sorry to puncture that image of you, Eddie, but super nice guy. We want to bring you in for NBA free agency, obviously.
Right on, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm a nice guy, man. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't talk tough. I'm firm with my with my opinions, but that's not tough talk, you know.
The Oakland, I think it's the Oakland accent that kind of threw me off initially. Again, I'm an East Coast guy, so I come out here meeting all these West Coast people, and Oakland definitely has an accent. But I want to start with the Miami Heat. You're the final team you were on. You were on that LeBron team that faced off, I believe it was the Mavs in the finals. Still, yeah. One of the most shocking moments ever for me in NBA finals. And, you know, I went on Undisputed on Tuesday morning and said, I think the Heat passed the Bucks. You know, I love this Kyle Lowry addition. I love stealing PJ Tucker. I like keeping Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero. Eddie, I'm of the thought that Miami basically was just drained this past season after making a run to the title in the bubble, losing to the Lakers. Do you think they are right there with the Bucks, below them, above them? We know they're not the Nets. We got that.
I think at this point with the signing of P.J. Tucker, that gives them a little advantage. P.J. has been in the locker room with Milwaukee. He knows the psyche of guys. He's one of those defenders that understands not only his team defensive role, but he studies players. You know, he's a really good on-ball defender. Jimmy Butler's the same way. So I think bringing that knowledge about the Bucks per se in particular gives the Heat a slight edge, but I will not go against the defending champs. I think they got to look to add a piece. I think Giannis showed that he is virtually unstoppable when he wants to be unstoppable, regardless. You know, people thought, oh, he can't make his jump shots. He was making elbow jumpers. They say he can't make free throws in the final game. What'd he go, 7-for-19 or something like that?
And 17 call, for 19, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 17-for-19. People could call that an anomaly, but I call that a baller stepping up and greatness being great. You know, in the big moments, you want him to have that, you know, those type of performances. So I don't think that it kicks them over Milwaukee at all. It gives them a slight advantage, but I definitely love everything that they're doing right now. They're keeping their team together. And they're adding the pieces that I think that they really needed. You look at Nunn is a really good basketball player, but he was inconsistent at times. Great in the bubble, the playoff run, he was great. But this past season, inconsistent a little bit. I think Lowry gives you that consistency at point guard, that bulldog point guard mentality. He'll defend. He'll get guy. He's a traditional point guard. He's a guy that'll get you an offense. He's going to pick up the opposing point guard, you know, 94 feet at time, but he's going to put pressure on him. And then he's a pass first guy, but he does knock down open shots and makes his free throw. So he's the throwback point guard, a traditional point guard. And I think that's huge for them to have. Takes Jimmy Butler off the ball at time, and he's able to set up those other guys. Tyler Hero doesn't have to be making plays. So
only thing I guess I push back on is this, the Bucks are the defending champs. I get that. But Ed, if you real, and I'm not taking anything away from the Bucks winning the championship. It's tough to win the title. But if you really closely examine these playoffs, Kevin Durant, like an inch behind the three-point line and the Bucks are out. Kyrie Irving doesn't get hurt and the Bucks are out. James Harden, injury. Like everything broke their way. Even the Trae Young injury at the end of the Hawks series when the Bucks were struggling to put him away. I know Giannis got hurt. But this idea that, okay, the Bucks won the title. But I think you would probably agree with me. The two best teams in the league last year were the Lakers and the Nets, right? Would you agree with that aspect?
I think the ones with the most star power. I don't think the two best teams. I think the two best teams with the most star, the two teams with the most star power were those two teams. And that's what everybody wanted to see, the stars clash in prime time in the finals. But I think the two best teams were the two best teams who were in the finals. If you look at the way that Phoenix played all year, they were a team-oriented basketball team, and they were structured in the old-school way. Have a really good point guard. Have a great shooting guard. Have some wings that can 3 and D, and a mixture of those. And then have a big man who was finishing at a high clip for the most part of the playoffs around the rim. Now, that's how you put together a basketball team. That's a team. That ain't full of star power to where they can just carry you. That's the reason why I feel that the Suns lost. They didn't have as much star power as, even though Milwaukee was a great team, and I think Milwaukee played well as a team. But I think the others played better than the others for Phoenix. Milwaukee's others played better than Phoenix's others. And then the superstar was a superstar. And I think that was a difference. So it's hard to try to knock, like you say that, you know, they dealt with injuries on the way. They were seeing guys, they got some luck. But when you win a championship, there is a bit of luck there.
Yeah.
And they're just like, okay, so I could push back with the Dallas Mavericks beating us in 2011. It was lucky that LeBron went somewhere else. They were lucky that he did that. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. But that's what happens. That's what happens. Yeah. Something breaks for you, and you know, you can't control it. I think Phoenix had a cakewalk going into the finals as well. Everybody they faced was hurt. So
Kawhi was out. Yeah.
Yeah, Kawhi was out.
I mean, first of all, let me ask this. Honestly, if I gave you one of those tests where we were testing to see if you're making a true or false statement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I hooked you up to the lie detector, and I said, the Lakers are up 2-1 over the Suns. Who is winning that series?
I would say
your
the
answer
Lakers.
Would be? Right. I think everybody would say the Lakers. That's why, for me, it's tough to
buy into
the Suns.
But AD
like,
was hurt, though. But AD was
he
hurt.
He did get hurt, and Kawhi got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
And on at the same time.
Jamal Murray was
Jamal
hurt
Murray, yeah, you're right. It was
everybody
they coasted.
Played, yeah, everybody they played every round was injured. So, you know, they had the first time they ever faced some real adversity was going to Milwaukee and losing that game four. That game four, because game three kind of expected that to happen.
Yes.
But that game four, they had an opportunity. And
I think they were up, what, 9 in the fourth quarter and collapsed?
Yeah. Yeah. And
unbelievable.
So that was like the first time really facing some real, real tough adversity. And to me, I think that's what builds character in teams, especially when you got leaders like Chris Paul, you got Devin Booker. I like the Suns, what they're doing, at least coming back. Do I think that they'll be the favorite? But I like the signings. You know, you bring back your backcourt. So now your backcourt's intact. Now the next step is, do you extend Ayton? You know, Mikal Bridges is a guy that you're looking to extend. I like the trade for Landry Shamet. And I also like the fact that they went and got JaVale McGee, because that's the one thing that killed him was the glass. So you get some more size, some more rim protection. Saric should be coming back. So they'll have enough size. And they say, you know, when your window's open, if you got a toe in there, you try to put a foot in there and try to get in there. So they have an opportunity. I like what they're doing over there.
The other thing is, like, when I think of, you know, the Lakers in 2020, I know it was the bubble. So, Ed, they lost one game in the first round, one game in the second. I think 1-2, or was it 1-2 to Denver, and then they lost 2 to Miami. This Bucks team, like, I mean, they were down 2-0 to the Nets before the injuries hit. They were down 1-0 to Atlanta, needed to push to 6. Like, I just, other than the first round against your Heat, I didn't see a dominant team in the Bucks, and that's why I'm still skeptical, and I think next year the Nets, everybody healthy, I think the Nets are the better team. Are the Nets a team to beat next year?
I think so if they're healthy. Yeah. I think they were the team to beat this past season if they stay healthy and everything is clicking. But that's a big if. That's part of sports. You know, you got guys that get injured and go down. That's the same thing we could say about the Golden State Warriors. If KD doesn't hurt his Achilles, we figured that the Warriors, and if Klay Thompson don't get hurt, we figured the Warriors are going to win that championship. But, hey, man, what can you do? You got to play the team that's in front of you. Toronto goes out and wins the championship. But I'm going to give some pushback on that Milwaukee thing about you feel like they weren't the better team because they were down in these games. To me, that shows that they were the better team. That's the one thing I would tell everybody when we were talking is the one thing about Milwaukee, they have been knocking on the door. They're battle tested, and that's the one thing, and they have size. And in this finals, I thought Phoenix was the better overall team with the pieces at all the positions that could be, you know, do what they do. But you know, Giannis was a superstar, but these guys were battle tested. They had been there before. They've been knocking on the door, and to come back like they did and go into Brooklyn. And you know, Kevin Durant is arguably the best player, right? You can go LeBron or KD. It's, you know, it could go that
whoa,
could be
whoa,
a
whoa, 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 whoa. Did you forget about Luka Doncic? And I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, I don't forget about Luka Doncic, but I see him he just fails over and over. He's a guy that gets his point. But back to my point, Kevin Durant, you're playing game 7 at home against Kevin Durant, and you find a way on the road, and you find a way to beat the possibly the second best player, or some people can argue the best player in the league. You go and win that. You do the same thing. You can drive yourself to a game. You put yourself in a hole against Atlanta, and you find a way to win. You also go down 0-2 in the finals and win four straight. That was amazing. Yeah.
We touched on the Nets briefly. My only Nets question is Kyrie Irving. Listen, you were a guard. You know some of these guards can be divas, some of these superstars. I just want to ask, like, if your sons say, man, Dad, what is the story with Kyrie? What's the deal with this guy? How would you answer that question?
It's hard to answer because I can't get into the mind of him. And he's so at times you could kind of follow where he's going and what he's saying and his perspective on it. But then he'll do something else that kind of doesn't line up with that. And so for me, you know, to each is his own. You know, I'm always from the I was cut from the cloth. If you have a job, you go out and you do your job and you work hard at it. And, you know, we all going to deal with some stuff at times, you know. It's never an easy road. It's not an easy path. It's not an easy path to get there. And we all do eventually have some sort of breaking points. And then when you hit that breaking point, it's like, okay, what do you do? You know, are you, you know, I had those times going through my career where I've hit some breaking points, but I didn't have the luxury or the time to sit back and say, hey, I need to take time off. They would have moved off me. So it's one of those things to where, you know, to each is his own. And whatever he's dealing with, however he's been dealing with it, the injury, the mental health issues, I just wish that everything gets right so he could get back to focused on doing what I know he loves to do, and that's play basketball and what we all love to watch him do, and that's go out there and hoop because he is a baller for real.
Big time. Hey, the NBA draft just happened. And I went back and looked at your draft in 2000. You went 37th overall to the Heat. I'm curious, the pre-draft process, now it seems like no agents let their players go one-on-one against other guys. It's all just working out against air, and you look incredible. I want to go back to your 2000 draft. Leading up to it, were you in any workouts where it was one-on-one, two-on-two, anything like that?
Every last workout.
Really?
Every last workout, yeah. We play full court. They have us go one-on-one full court, throw it at a certain place on the court, almost like the back hash. So you're in the back court, you catch it, and you come at somebody full speed downhill.
Wow.
Certain spots on the court, you run through a pick and roll session. They'll have you going through with two other guys that are out there. They're looking at.
Do you remember any years?
Yeah, I was always linked up with Jay Hart. That's why
Jason Hart from Syracuse.
Yeah, yeah, I think he was coaching at USC, and I think he just got a job with the G League Ignite, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So shout out to Jay Hart for moving up, man, and keep grinding. That's how me and him got close, because it was like every work. I'm like, nah, you again? But he a tough defender, so he made it tough. I'm a tough scorer, so it made it tough for him.
I'm assuming you torched him.
No, we went back and forth. You know, like I said, he's a really good defender. And the more you see somebody, you can pick up tendencies and things like that. And I won't say I torched him.
He went 12 picks after you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is what it. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're right, I guess. Shooting guard, point guard, you're right.
Yeah.
Was there any other good stories from that or no?
Not really, man. It was just a real the one story about Jerry Krause, God bless his soul. You know, I know he's dead. One thing about him, it was when he called me in his office, you know, after the workout, and this was one of the workouts with Jay Hart, he just had an arrogant talk, you know, just the way he talked, like the way he presented what he was trying to say, almost like he's above, and just for us to be kind of in the presence, we should be grateful for that. And, you know, That rubbed me the wrong way. I'm not going to lie, because I'm a real energy person, like a vibe person. And the vibe he was giving off was like, you know what, you guys are beneath me right now. And I don't even know. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that's the way that I was feeling. And like I said, you know, it is what it is. And then you hear some stories about the things of how things has unfolded, and it all makes sense to me now, you know, not knowing and being a wet behind the ears, a young man, just trying to get into the league. But that was like one of the weirdest one-on-one interviews that I had ever had. And it just made me feel uncomfortable being basically, you know, having that discussion with him. And I mean, look, when I got drafted, Pat Riley called me. That was all excitement. You know, I can't remember the guy's name. He was the GM at Toronto at the time. He was cool. Took me out to eat, and we had a good conversation. So it was like, that was probably the weirdest thing about the whole draft for me, was that one interview, and it just sticks in my brain. It's just how that went. It was just real weird.
I looked this up. The Bulls had 3 picks at the top of the second round. So they were, I'm assuming they were looking hard at you. They ended up going A.J. Guyton, Indiana. That's Jake Voskal, UConn, and Khalid El-Amin, UConn.
Yep.
And I'm assuming you played more games than all 3 of those guys combined. Well, maybe the 2 guards. But anyway, I'm not trying to rub it in that you were.
But the thing is that, you know, Miami's pick, that 37th pick, was in the second round. That was their first pick of the draft. So I was like, what you could call, I'm not saying even though I was the second round, but I was their first. I was basically their first pick. So they were excited to get an opportunity, and I was so excited to get out there and for them to give me a chance. That's why I'll forever love that organization. I'll forever love Pat Riley for taking a chance on me, Randy Fund for taking a chance on me, Stan Van Gundy for working me out, and all those guys for believing in me. Not one time do I ever want to see the Miami Heat lose a game. I never want to see Boston Celtics lose a game either.
Okay, so, you know, that just triggered a mention here. So you were drafted by the Heat, and your final season was with the Heat. We're watching the Lakers kind of unfold here and add a bunch of guys. LeBron is famous for wanting to get his guy veterans to add to the team. When your final season with the Heat happened, how did you land up there? Was there a LeBron call, or was it more of a Pat Riley thing? Do you remember how that unfolded?
No, it was Pat. It was Pat. It was first, once he went, it was a couple of teams that I was looking to go to. But once we found out that, you know, LeBron was going there, I got a call from Pat, and it was a no-brainer. I mean, it was a no-brainer. I knew it was a perfect fit. I had matured so much from the time that I was there when I was a rookie, my first 3 years. I think my game had evolved. It was just that. As soon as he made that decision, I want to say it was that. I called my agent that night and said, hey, man, get him on the phone again. Let's make this happen. And then we just did it that way.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So we'll wrap up by talking about the Lakers. They've gone through a lot here. I need your thoughts first on Russell Westbrook, a guy, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, show my hand with how I feel about it, but I'm going to ask you, I don't know where you were when the Russell Westbrook trade happened last week, but what were your initial thoughts?
My first initial thought was, man, they're going to pack the paint. They're going to force this guy to shoot shots, right? That was my first initial thought. But then I thought about, well, watching his last finals, one thing rang true that Pat Riley always said, no rebounds, no rings. You dominate on the glass. You got 3 guys that can dominate the glass. Russell Westbrook, probably the best rebounding point guard that we've ever seen. LeBron is, a dominant rebounder when he wants to be, and we know what AD can do. So now you got guys that can really crash the board. And for the most part, point guards, you're not taught to box out the point guard. You're looking for an outlet. Most of the time, you're not crashing the offensive glass. Russell Westbrook does both of those things. So I think check that box right there to say, hey, we can dominate the glass. You dominate the glass, you get more possessions.
That's a great point.
Thinking about the fast break, okay, how scary is this? Russ pushing it with LeBron on one side and AD on the other side. That's a hell of a fast break to deal with. Or put LeBron with the ball in his hand and AD on one wing and Russ on the other wing. Those things right there, you know, if they can play fast and spurts, not all the time, play fast and spurts, I don't see how it will be a problem. I think they can control the glass. I think they'll figure it out because they're great. I know they'll be playing really good defense. They'll be locked in defensively. The one thing is that when the game does slow down and we get into a half-court set, I'm expecting LeBron to have the ball in his hands to be the primary maker. Now, Russ, where what do you do with Russ? Where do you put him? Do
he better not just stand on the perimeter.
You know what I'm saying? If you stand on the perimeter, they're going to suck it in. I think you have to get him on the move or maybe even do a pick and roll with him, you know, just on movement, you know. And if they switch, LeBron's man switch on him, I think Russ has an advantage on a three or four, you know, with his speed, athleticism, and quickness. So, I mean, I think it's like this. It's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. You know, it's almost like when you was a kid, and you had too many G.I. Joes, you didn't know where to set them up. It was best to have all them G.I. Joes, try to figure out how you're going to set them up, than to have one and just figure out how you're going to do something with him. You know, so
I love
it. I think they'll be okay, man. And I'm tell you what, I'm excited about this season coming up because I want to see what they're going to do. I'm a huge Russell Westbrook fan. Like the two players now that I would actually kick out some money to go see would be a Russell Westbrook and would be Devin Booker. Those are my two favorite players to watch. I've watched Devin Booker from the time he got drafted. I did a show out here on a local TV channel. I said that the Suns must draft him because shooting translates. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him. I'm real good friends with his father. And I've just seen his maturation process. You know, when he came in, wasn't getting many minutes, but he worked. And he worked himself to where he is now. And I think this going to the finals, smelling it, tasting it, and then losing. And I think you've probably seen the clip to where at the end of the game, it pans to him and he's taking his jersey out of his shorts and he just said, damn. You know, and that to me is going to resonate because I want to see him, what he's going to do this year with that.
So I want to back up. You said something. I might steal this, Ed. No rebounds, no rings. So that triggered me to go look.
That's Pat Riley.
Pat Riley? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that everybody's talking about the finals, about shooting and the Suns and the three-point shooting. So I went and looked. Offensive rebounds in the finals. Phoenix Suns, 42. Milwaukee Bucks, 79.
Yeah, you can't win games.
They almost doubled them up.
Yeah, and think about this. While they're almost doubling them up, getting extra possessions on the – They were turning the Suns over. So think about that. This is the worst thing about a turnover. It's might as well you just come over the court and just set the ball down because you don't get a shot. You know, you don't get a shot. You don't get an opportunity to get an offensive rebound. And to me, that was the key in that game. That whole series was the rebounding.
Man, that's crazy. So you think that's what the play is for the Lakers here? Let's get big. Let's go, Russ, AD. We got JaVale McGee coming. Not JaVale, sorry. Dwight Howard, Marc Gasol. I mean, they are a big team now, right?
Yeah, they're a huge team. I think this is not only, I mean, because, you know, I don't think Gasol is going to just be size and like a big body you could throw out there. I don't think that they're just looking to get big. I'm thinking they're looking to get big with a little bit of shooting, but also they want to defend. They want to defend and maximize their opportunities by one and dones, having guys take contested shots, and they're able to clean up the glass, not give up offensive rebounds. And then having Russ, we know the pace that Russ could play with. I think it gives LeBron an opportunity to just get out on the wing and show his wing presence again. Because a lot of times he's on the ball, and all we really notice is him making plays, him making passes. It gives him opportunity to run the floor, like how he ran the floor in Miami at times when D-Wade got it. And you could show his athleticism. I know LeBron, as you know, everybody say, as old as he is, he hasn't shown a great decline in athleticism. He hasn't, you know, besides that ankle injury that he took or, you know, and the injury before that. But when he came back before he hurt his ankle last year, he was still looking athletic as ever. So I want to see him get out on the wing and get athletic, get long like he does, sprint the floor. I mean, one of the fastest guys, I'm not going to lie to you. So here's a story about LeBron. He's about 260 when I was in Miami because I seen him on the scale. I peeked over there and I seen him on the scale and I'm like, damn, he's 260. We just ran sprints. The reason why I wanted to see how much he weighed because we had just was running sprints, right? And I never lose sprints, right? And I never lost a sprint ever, okay? So I'm running. I know I'm the fastest on the squad. So I'm running. I'm talking you know what I mean? And telling everybody how slow they are, man. Y'all better catch me, man. I said, you're lucky it wasn't 5-6 years ago. I'd be running a 4-2. I'm just clowning, right? So I'm starting to get guys to really push it. We starting to really push it on these sprints. In track world, it was a dust. I would have dusted him, but he couldn't only been maybe two or three steps behind me when I won, when we crossed the line. But for him to be 260 and moving like that,
yeah, that's scary.
It was such an impressive. I was like, man, that's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
So, Eddie, we could wrap up here with breaking news. We're recording this on Tuesday in the middle of the day, and Ed, my phone is next to me, and I just keep looking at it. A bunch of texts just came in. The Lakers signed two new guys. Don't look at your phone yet. Okay. I want your first reaction. Number one, the first guy they got, Malik Monk. Charlotte Hornets, Kentucky Wildcat
right.
shooter, had a suspension due to drugs. I think it was drugs. Lakers signed him. Your thoughts?
I like that signing. It's a guy who can get the ball, get shots off the dribble, can make the three, can stretch the floor. The size isn't great, you know, for what you're looking for. But again, I just spoke about all the other size that they got and all the rebounding. So you're not looking for him to be an extraordinary rebounder. You're looking for him to do exactly what I think he'll come in and do is get buckets. He's a guy that can get buckets on his own, but he also could space the floor and knock down the open shot.
40% on threes last year, career high. Year before was 28, but that was a bad year. And the other one is a guy you know well, Carmelo Anthony. He is going to the Lakers to join forces.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he, man? Why wouldn't he, man? LeBron, bring him on. That's dope. And you know what? More than anything, like, however he fits, I don't care. But I really do like the fact that they're getting the opportunity to play together, man. And, you know, because just a few years back, it looked like Melo was never going to play in the league again. He looked like he never evolved his game, you know, because he was such just mid-range and nobody really wanted mid-range anymore. He was an ISO guy. People wanted to move the ball, but he adapted and he evolved. And I'm so happy to see that, you know, he has a chance to go to the Lakers and they're going to be competing, man. I mean, that's another guy that's going to stretch the floor. I promise you can't help off Carmelo Anthony. I don't care what anybody thinks, you're not helping. Just his name alone is going to make you have your antennas up and pay attention to wherever he is on the court. And more rebounding.
Yeah, also true. But I just wonder, the LeBron Wade experiment, do you remember how that went in Cleveland?
Well, I mean, D-Wade was definitely a shell of himself. I think D-Wade...
Melo's like 36, 37?
Yeah, but Melo is still effective. And I think the one thing Melo has realize what his role is and how he can be effective. You look at these years that he has in Portland the last couple of years, in the bubble especially, and even last year, he hit shots. He hit shots when they needed to hit shots. In spurts, and you don't need Melo to be Melo of 2008, you know, 2009. You need Melo to be this Melo and maybe just have a moment, a game here or there, because that's all you need is somebody that's and who more to lean on than a guy that's been there, that's felt that, that's done it before, to know how to take over a game. I mean, we've seen it in Portland, man. He had that one stretch where I want to say he scored like 18 points last year in one
game. He did,
And so when you look at that, that's all you need. You get that in a finals game when you're not expecting it. That's how you get over the hump. In a playoff game when you're not expecting game seven, that's how you get over the hump.
Do all these moves, you know, again, it's small potatoes, but Malik Monk, Carmelo Anthony, Wayne Ellington, et cetera, does this put them as the favorites in the West?
I mean, who else would you – who else would you like?
Kawhi's out. Kawhi's basically out for the season.
Yeah, I don't see
Jamal Murray's not coming back till like the All-Star break. The only choices really are the Suns and the Jazz, assuming you have faith in either of them.
Do you think the Lakers are a better team now than they were last year? Let me ask you that question.
Well, the tough part, Ed, that's so tough because last year when they're up 2-1 on the Suns and Andre Drummond is clowning on the sideline because LeBron's backing down Crowder and everybody's having fun, that team was on their way to the finals. I think we both agree.
But
right?
AD was hurt and LeBron wasn't
100%. Well, he got hurt. He got hurt after that and it derailed everything.
Let's say this, 100%, both teams right now, were the Lakers better than this team, you think?
I need some time to think about that, but given the wattage, the star power, no. I mean, Dennis Schroeder was supposed to be like a guy, like their number three dude.
Yeah, but
Dennis Schroeder, he just didn't show it. I mean, he had a donut in one game against the Suns.
Yeah, the one thing about Schroeder, we got to remember, he was playing on teams at times where it didn't matter. You know, when the lights get bright and, you know, them games get a little tougher, it's every possession, every shot really, 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 really matters. So, you know, that was his first real run test at it like that. And Schroeder was not a guy who played off the ball well. He's the guy who had the ball in his hands, and that's how he played. He scored. He's not a great playmaker. So it just didn't – to me, I never really liked that mix. I just didn't think it fit with what his style of play is, fit with how the Lakers want to run their offense and their style of play. I just didn't think it matched. I thought it clashed a little bit.
Can you believe that he turned down, what was it, 2019 or 20, $21 million a year?
I know, I can't
early in the season from the Lakers,
all that money down like that.
I mean, he turned that down thinking he could get more.
Right.
And you know, we could say he got COVID and played poorly, but I don't know where he's getting any. Who's paying him right now? All the chairs are taken. It feels like.
I know, and that's bad advice. He got bad advice from his agent and family.
Or he's got too big of an ego. One of the two. But all right. So Ed, you're projecting out a year. Everybody who's healthy now is healthy then. Who you got in the finals?
Oh, I got the Nets and the Lakers.
Yeah.
I got what everybody wanted to see. Let's run that back.
I mean, it's going to be good. Like, I mean, everybody wants to kill the NBA, bad ratings. If you can get LeBron versus Durant with guys like AD, Russ, Kyrie, Harden, that is a home run for the NBA.
That is. And like, we can't forget about when Denver gets healthy, how they're going to be playing well.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, though.
But, I mean, it's still going to be competitive is all I'm saying. Phoenix is going to be competitive. Milwaukee will be competitive. The Heat's going to be competitive. I'm saying we're going to say that those top two teams are there. But just so happens if somehow they don't make it and they get put out, I don't think that it's going to be a huge drop-off. I think it's still going to be an entertaining basketball. It's going to be exciting, and everybody's going to want to see it. I know I definitely want to see it, and I'll be tuned in for
sure. My gosh. People are freaking out over this Carmelo Anthony thing. I mean, listen, it's exciting. The Lakers have four Hall of Famers on their team right now.
That's crazy.
I mean, I don't know if Marc Gasol is a Hall of Fame. He had a great career, good defensive player of the year, all that. I don't know if he's Hall of Fame, but you're talking about four major, major stars.
Yeah, for real.
All right, I mean, Eddie House, what do you got cooking, Ed? What's going on with you coming up?
Oh, man, just really the boys about to get started in school, just getting them ready and prepared for all of that. My son's out here on a little vacation until he goes back to school at New Mexico, so that's it. Just chilling right now, brother.
Nice, buddy. All right, man. Stay safe out there. Eddie House, thanks a lot. And we'll talk to you soon.